So far this week, I've been looking in Hebrews chapter 3, end of chapter 3, and in the beginning verses of chapter 4 as well. And these are verses that I just enjoy reading. These are verses I come back to all the time, because I love the fact that it's talking to us, the author of Hebrews is sharing with us, about rest, and really what's being called even Sabbath rest. And what we've looked at so far this week is that, even what we're looking at yesterday, is that as believers in Jesus Christ, these are promises that are for us. The comparison that the author is making in the book of Hebrews is our life compared to, as believers in Jesus Christ, our life as compared to the Israelites as they were leaving the bondage of Egypt, making their way through the wilderness to the promised land. And so there was a promised land, and if you read these verses in Hebrews, end of chapter 3 and early on in chapter 4, you see that the author of Hebrews is drawing the analogy between those between our lives and between the Israelites. But you can also see that he has drawn the analogy of that rest that he's talking about, and finding that rest in God. You can see he's drawing the comparison even to Genesis and the creation story. And he ties it to the seventh day, and he ties it to God and the rest that God had. Now, here's one of the key elements for us to understand. When you look at the creation, so many times we look at creation, we read through it, and you know, we look at it, and it's phenomenal, the things that God created and how he created it, and that he created everything to recreate itself. He set everything in motion. And then it says, of course, on the seventh day he rested. And we look at that because we get the mindset of rest sometimes, and in our minds it means, for me, rest is, well, I've had a busy week. It's been a long day. I'm going to rest for a little while. It's been a busy week. I've earned a little bit of rest. I'm going to sit back and do nothing at all because I'm just spent. I've done everything I can. My energy is gone. It's time for me to rest so I can be strong to do something else. That's the way we look at rest. And so when we think about God on the seventh day he rested, and you just read all that he did in the 6 days of creation, we kind of get the mindset that, you know, God just rested because, whew, he had spent a lot of energy. You have no idea how much energy it takes to create galaxies and the universe and all the things on Earth. That was an awful lot, and so he was tired and he had to rest. Well, the Bible tells us that God never grows weary. So the rest that God had on the seventh day clearly is not the kind of rest that we're talking about. If the Bible tells us that God never grows weary, then he wasn't resting because he was tired. It wasn't like it was a hard thing for God to do creation. He spoke it into existence, and it was. He rested on the seventh day not because he was tired, but he rested on the seventh day because all the work was complete. And so he had that seventh day. It was the Sabbath. And of course, we know throughout the Old Testament the teachings on the Sabbath, and that they were to honor the Sabbath, that they were to set it aside as a day, of rest. It's the Sabbath day. So we know that when you read through Hebrews and the author is talking about, he's drawn that comparison between that seventh day, that Sabbath rest, and you can see the ties directly to creation. You can see the ties directly to God himself resting. But if God never grows weary, then he rested because everything is done. The work is completed. So the Sabbath day, the seventh day, the rest that God had was a rest not from tiredness and weariness, but it was a rest that came from everything being complete. It was all established. It was created, it was established, it was running, and all the work was done. It was, creation was complete. His work was complete. Everything that needed to be done was done and completed. That's what the rest meant for God. Now, as you're reading through the end of Hebrews chapter 3 and the beginning of chapter 4, you can see that comparison. Now, the Israelites always had the day of Sabbath as being a day of rest, a day of not doing any labor. But when you read through this and you see what the heart of God is, you can see that when it's talking about, let me just read through. Let's just go through verse number 4. I'm sorry, chapter number 4. So Hebrews 4. Therefore, while the promise of entering his rest, this is what we're talking about, his rest. What is his rest? His rest wasn't tiredness. His rest was complete. So when all of these verses are talking about, and the author of Hebrews is talking about how the Israelites failed to enter into his rest, and that whole generation died in the wilderness, and we saw on Monday because they did not mix. They had the promise of God, But they didn't mix that promise with faith. And because they didn't mix the promise with faith, it profited them nothing. And they died in that wilderness. They never entered the rest. It took faith to enter the rest, to enter into God's rest. So they failed. And even when Joshua and that next generation did enter in to the promised land, they never fully possessed it. And you can also look and you can see that there's references here that are words that are the exact verbiage. It's words that come right from Psalm 95 in David. And David had said that there is another rest. Okay, think about that. Rest is still ahead of us. Because David, even though the Israelites, David was the king. He was the king of, he's the king of Jerusalem. He's the king of all the, he's the king of Israel. And yet still, he's realizing that they had not entered into the promises. They still, there were still other promises. There was still another rest that was being spoken of. David realized that. And that's what the author of Hebrews is telling us. There's another rest. It's a rest that is beyond just not working. There's a rest that's beyond just getting the energies back up again. It's God's rest. And this is what we're supposed to learn. What's God's rest? God's rest, when he rested, it was the completion of all things. Now remember that. Because what God is telling us through the author of Hebrews is that the rest that he has for us, the rest that he expects us to enter into, is entering into the completed work. See, if you look at the promised land that the Israelites were supposed to enter into, it was the land of their promise. All their needs were met. They were supposed to enter into it. But that was under the old covenant. We have a new covenant. We have a better covenant. We have a superior covenant. And when we enter into the promised land that we have, when we enter into the rest that God has for us, it means we enter into that place where we are accepting and know and living in his completed work. It means we realize that the promises of Jesus Christ are complete. So whatever your need is, you know, every day when I start this program, I say, what are your needs? If you've got needs in your financial area, if you've got needs at your job, if you've got needs in your family, if you have needs in your marriage, needs for health in your body, needs for your emotions, whatever your needs might be, I throw those out there every day. Here's the truth, and here's what God wants us to realize through what the author of Hebrews is telling us, that all the work for all those things is already done and already established. It's complete in Jesus Christ. And you and I are supposed to enter into that place of rest. We're supposed to enter into that place where we realize, and in faith, we know that those things are done. And so I can just rest in the fact that they're done. I don't have to labor for it. I don't have to work hard for it. I don't have to make it a difficult thing to have all those promises come to pass. I just enter into his rest. I have the confidence of knowing that it's complete. Whether I see it or not at that moment is totally irrelevant. Because it's true in the spiritual realm. I have to enter into that rest. All right, so with that understanding, let's look at this. Therefore, while the promise of entering his rest still holds and is offered today, still holds and is offered today, let us be afraid to distrust it. In other words, we should be leery of not believing that. We need to trust that. God's saying, you need to trust. There is a rest that I have for you to enter into. And it's not a rest of, oh, I'm going to close my eyes and be refreshed. It's a rest that says, my faith and my confidence are in Jesus Christ. I'm going to rest in him. I'm not going to sweat it. I'm not going to worry about it. I'm trusting you. I'm going to be obedient and keep moving forward, and you're going to take care of all the things. Because these things are done for me. It's the promises. It's the promised land that you've established for all of us who believe in you, Jesus, who believe in you. Let us be afraid to distrust it, lest any of you should think he's come too late and has come short of reaching it. Well, that's encouraging. It doesn't matter how much you might have failed in the past. Hey, don't worry about it. Don't distrust it. It doesn't matter what happened yesterday. You've not come short. You've not failed to reach it. You keep moving forward. You can enter into his rest today. You could have spent your whole life laboring and working and seeing some fruit, but being exhausted and wore out at the end of it. You know, I'm reading this book it's kind of like a daily devotional, but it's every day is a different story of somebody in Christian history. I mean, so some of these go back literally to the first century, but then it's also a lot of evangelists. I was reading today about William Carey, the great missionary. So every day is some of these different individuals who went through different things and went through different trials. And you know, one of the things that I see very common in these things that I read, some of the stories that I read of some of the great men and women of God throughout the ages, I'm surprised how often I see that they died very young. And one of the common phrases is, and they were exhausted and worn out. Now, I give them credit for pouring themselves totally into what they were doing. But how many times have we spent, you know, and the older that you get, the more you realize. You pour yourself into, don't misunderstand me, we are supposed to apply ourselves and work hard. But there's a point when you come to realize that my efforts and the things that I do and all of my hard labor produce very little. But if I'm obedient and I just work, do the work, I don't have to burn myself out. I don't have to exhaust myself to the point where physically, God doesn't want that. God didn't want those great missionaries and those great men of God and those great examples throughout history to die early. His plan wasn't for them to die. Literally, some of them died in their 30s and 40s because they were wore out in their serving Jesus Christ. That wasn't God's best plan for them. Thank you, Jesus, for the things they accomplished. I admire it. You know, I want to be like that. But I also want us to have wisdom in the things that we do. We have to work. We have to labor. We have to make the sacrifices. We have to move. But you don't have to burn yourself out. The older I get, the more I realize those things that I toiled and did a lot and forced myself, you know, made it happen by just your sheer will of doing it yourself, you get some accomplishment out of that, but it wears you out. Much better to just do the work and not worry about how it's working or what it looks like, what it doesn't look like. You do the work, you do it in obedience, and you watch because you trust God. You're resting in Him. I'm being obedient. I'll do the small things I can do because the things that I do, as great as I think they are, they're small. I'll do the things I can do, which is the lesser, and God, you will do the greater. And He does. This is entering into the promises. It's believing His promises. That's where the rest is. It's resting in his faithfulness and His promises. For indeed, we have glad tidings, the gospel of God proclaimed to us, just as truly as they, the Israelites of old, did when the good news of deliverance from bondage came to them. But the message they heard did not benefit them because it was not mixed with faith, with the learning, leaning on the entire personality of God, in absolute trust and confidence in His power, wisdom, and goodness to those who heard it. See, they didn't believe that. They heard it, but they didn't have faith in the fact that if they relied upon God and trusted upon Him exclusively, if they leaned upon Him absolutely, that all of His promises would come to pass. That is the rest. That's the Sabbath rest that's being talked about here in Hebrews. Verse number 3, for we who have believed, adhered to, and trusted in, and relied upon God, do enter His rest. How do you enter His rest? How do you get to that place where you can see these are the promises that are in the Word of God? I'm going to rest on those promises. I'm not going to try to make them happen. I'm not going to force them. I'm going to speak them in faith, and I'm going to say, thank you, Jesus, and keep moving forward, and watch how those promises come to pass in life. That's how we enter into the rest. In accordance with this declaration that those who did not believe shall not enter. If I don't believe, I can't enter that rest. If I don't believe, I can't enter into those promises. I've got to take the word and the promises and mix it with faith. As I swore in my wrath, they shall not enter my rest. And this He said, although His works have been completed and prepared, and waiting for all who would believe from the foundation of the world. Okay, you can take that verse right back to Psalm 95, and that's what David said. This is David talking about those things. For in a certain place, he has said this about the seventh day, and God rested on the seventh day from all of His works. Verse number 5. And they forfeited their part in it, for in this passage He said, they shall not enter my rest, seeing that the promise remains over from past times, for some to enter that rest, and that those who formerly were given the good news about it and the opportunity failed to appropriate it and did not enter because of disobedience. The way that we enter into that rest, that Sabbath rest, you know, we talk about Sunday being a Sabbath rest, and certainly the Jews, and you see Jesus was very critical of the Pharisees for the fact that they were trying to, in their way, in their strength, honor the Sabbath by doing no work to the point where it was just ridiculous, where you couldn't even, you know, there were some like the Essenes who were so radical that they couldn't even use the restroom. They weren't allowed to go to the bathroom because it was considered work. I mean, talk about being legalistic. So Jesus criticized the Pharisees for being so legalistic on the Sabbath because they didn't understand. For them, you don't work. You honor the Sabbath. You don't do any work. You don't do anything with your animals. You don't tend to anything. You don't take care of anything. If your animals are caught, you let me. It was so legalistic. You don't do anything. And you see the Pharisees being very critical of others who did anything on the Sabbath. But they didn't understand what the Sabbath was. The Sabbath rest was not, well, don't do anything. The Sabbath rest was coming into, was entering into that knowledge, entering into that faith, entering into that certainty, that absolute certainty that the promises of God are true. Now, we have even better than the Pharisees because we understand who Jesus is and what he did. Entering into that Sabbath rest. You know, people look at Sunday as being a day of rest. Well, let's not do it. Today's a day of rest. Let's just go home and rest. What it really should be is today's a day of rest. Let us trust in God. Let us sharpen our faith and our confidence in his word and his promises. Let us believe that his promises are true in the areas of our healing, in the areas of our finances, our job, our home, in every area of our life. Every promise is true. We believe it. We have faith in it. We know. And so we're going to rest and be assured of that. I'm not going to allow fear or uncertainty to overtake me. It doesn't matter what things look like. I'm resting in him. That's what we should have as a day of rest. That is entering into his rest. That's the rest that he talks about. You can go on. You can read through those first 10 verses. I really encourage you, if you haven't, read the end of chapter 3 of Hebrews, and then read the first 10 verses of chapter 4, and see Sabbath rest as he's talking about Sabbath rest. See entering into that rest that he has, the way he's talking about it, which is to enter into the rest of trusting, relying totally upon him, absolutely upon him. Finding our rest, not worrying, not being stressful. That's what rest is not stressing out about it, but because you put your trust in him.